Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. I got a lot of feedback about this chaznish that we discussed on. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to start with a little bit less controversial piece today. Just for those of us who like this chaznish, I think it's very thought provoking. Here again, a very thought provoking shtickel chaznish. Please allow me to read 6 lines of chaznish in one of the tochen. Very thought provoking indeed. Please allow me to share this with you. I think it's brilliant. Ma'aseh bechassid echad. There's a story with a chassid echad. How are we going to translate chassid? Righteous person. Shehiz min ereach lisa itzle b'shabbos. It's a key, an essential rule about benom lechaver, about mitzvahs chesed and stokah here. It's brilliant. He's absolutely amazing. Chazanish, it's absolutely... Shehiz min ereach lisa itzle b'shabbos. This is a yid, a chassid echad, who invited somebody to eat by him over Shabbos, to eat Friday night meal by him. Who veisoy in his house kvar hechinu belibom kabolas pnei oreach. In his house, they were looking forward and excited to welcome this guest. Ki gam bnei beisoy, because also his family members, his wife and children, ahavu es ha'oichim, they also liked guests. Ve'omnom, however, hamechalek es ha'oichim, the person who was in charge of the guests and the guests and whoever's going to eat in and whoever's going to eat out. The person who was in charge in the shul of inviting all the people that need to arrange their meals, he wasn't aware of the invitation of this chassid echot. And he therefore arranged for this person to eat elsewhere. Just he wanted to be kind to look after him, so he made sure that he's going to eat elsewhere, not knowing that this individual had been invited already. When this chosid echo, when his yid came home from shul on Friday night, his fellow had gone already and disappeared. And he came empty-handed on his own to his house. Note this loshing begapoy. Begapoy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He came home on his own without the guests who had been invited elsewhere in the meantime. When his family realized and heard, when his family members heard that this guest is no more, he's eating elsewhere, his atzum moedi were very sad. And the chosid then said the following. It's brilliant. Ein ha'ireach, this guest is not ke'echad manachosim. He's not like one of our properties. Lasa is boischer to the business with him. The agosi he, my concern is only rak shilo le'ireach tzrochov, that this person should have what he needs. Vesuta Shabbos, and he should have a meal to eat on Shabbos. Avol achas dili, but it makes no difference to me. Im kibel zemimeni, if he receives it from me, oy mezulotia from somebody else. And he finishes off. Loi came and asked chelkom shel dolos ha'om. People who don't have a full understanding, they misinterpret this and they misunderstand this. If he wants and he wishes to do good, he's going to be narrow-eyed or stingy. And he will not be happy to see Leroy's Acherim Bemalachto. He's not going to be happy to see somebody else doing his job. Brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Because I would certainly be affected by this. It's brilliant because a person generally, you want to do good and you don't realize that it's a very selfish approach if you want to do good for yourself. And really, an Eilich Yitzh to appreciate and understand that if he's being looked after, if he's seen to, that's all I need to worry about. If it's me or somebody else doing it, it doesn't make a difference. I think it's brilliant. What are your thoughts on this? I think it's a very deep chazanish. What do you think? I think it's got a lot of... Machshava Kamasa. Is it Machshava Kamasa?
It's like saying...
Yeah, to some extent. Is it Machshava Kamasa? It's a bit deeper than that. Machshava Kamasa normally we interpret as being as, you know, if you try to do something in earnest, then it doesn't matter. He's not really saying this. He's saying that ultimately what you want is to be, that when it comes to chesed, when it comes to tzedakah, what you really care is that he's been looked after. And if you really want if you bothered by it, that you didn't manage to do your chesed, then you're a selfish person. It's absolutely brilliant. I think it teaches us a lot about chesed. Anyway, more on this in the Chazon Ish. Okay, good. So I hope this is a bit less controversial than what we discussed the other week. Okay, we are up to Simon Tov Nun Tes. I understand we have been receiving the new Mishneh Berurah. Have you all got a Mishneh Berurah? Yeah, there should be. Yeah, did you get one? On the shelves. Okay. Please feel free to take one for yourself, one for your sons, one for your wife, one for your... Yeah, feel free. They are. Yeah. Okay. Mokheim, the Seid Elisha Zamatzais. We are up to page 110. Continuing the lochus. Before I proceed, I want to point out and stress, and I think it's a... I would like to recommend for you to see a machine, as we're discussing those halachas, it's very interesting to actually see a machine matzah's bakery. So if you can go to Leeds to Rakusens, which is probably quite difficult, anybody been there, that's great. If not, nowadays there's other ways of seeing things. I myself have seen a few videos of machine baking. It's absolutely amazing. I can recommend two. One is you can see on a website called chinuch.org. If you look on the machine baking, it's a very interesting video. It's about 8 to 10 minutes. It's absolutely brilliant. It's also explained to Mamakomis a little bit. Alternatively, there's one which you can find, not in chinuch, which is machine. I think it's called Manischewitz. Is that a very, very, in America, very, very large producer. I think it's perhaps worldwide the largest machine matzahs. And you can see, if you just look online, you can look for it. It's absolutely fantastic. It's really interesting. It's a mass production. And you can see the halach is one of the things that I saw that was about the Maim Shalom. We were concerned about the Maim Shalom. Somebody else asked me last week about it. How actually the machine matzahs do Maim Shalonu. We discussed it in Shia as well. So I saw the way they take it, they've got very large containers. They put water in there before, and they keep it. In containers. These are massive, massive, huge containers of water, literal reservoirs, and they keep it like this overnight, and only use it subsequent days. So that's the way they do Maim Shalonu. Much more on this to be seen. So I really strongly recommend. If we had the facilities, I would even consider looking at it together during Shia time. It's really interesting. I think it's very beneficial to see it. Pardon? How we get the facilities? Yeah. If somebody wants to arrange that, that's fine with me. If you want to look at your own time, that's also fine. It is very interesting. It really is interesting. Should we arrange that? Do you want to? Yeah. Okay, so I leave it to you to arrange. If you are okay, in the meantime, Mokem v'seid alishas hamatzois, Simon Tov Nun Tetziv Alf Ein Loshin b'Mokem Hashemesh. We have now got the dough, and the halacha is that the dough may not be, you may not need it b'Mokem Hashemesh in a place which is just under the sun, the straight sunlight going into it. And the reason is obvious, because if the sun going onto the dough, what's going to happen? That's right, it's going to become chometz. It's going to get warm, and it's going to become sun warm. Oh, more to follow in a minute. And when it's a cloudy day, also tachas b'kol avir akia, then it's even worse. Then you can't just do it under with the sun. But then if it's cloudy, then it gets even worse, because the cloud spreads the sun. Mishum de yoyim de eva, the Gemara says, a day of cloud, kula shimsha, there's everywhere, the sun spreads everywhere. So what's the etzah? Well, you can't do it in a cloudy day, you can't do it in a sunny day. What are you meant to do? Pardon? Oh yeah, al kenu agul izoya, and therefore the minig is izoya lolosh keneged hachalona pasuach. So the minig therefore is not to need when there's a window which is open window is no good. even if there's no sun, because perhaps it's cloudy, or it's going to be cloudy, and you're going to notice. So the fact that there's no sun doesn't mean you can knead. So by all means, do it indoors. That's a great idea, but by the open window, because if there's an open window, and you're going to assume that perhaps there's no cloud, but that could be that it's cloudy, and we said if it's cloudy, the sun spreads everywhere. So therefore, close the window, and we're going to see that the minig is to even to put curtains away, to make the sun not go penetrate straight into the room. Similarly, one has to be careful not to walk around with the matzois. Letano, you don't walk around with the matzahs in your hand, the unbaked matzahs in your hand. Letano, into the oven. If it's an open area, open space. Because here again, although it's a very short distance and a short space, but nevertheless, by walking with the unbaked matzahs around town, it's no good. It has to be cold until he reaches the oven. Similarly, the water has to be cool without straight sunlight hitting it, kemach and the flower as well. V'leis korev lolosh, that's a very important and a difficult halacha, challenging halacha. V'leis korev lolosh etzel ha-tanur, when it comes to the kneading of the matzahs and the preparation of the matzahs, do not do that near the oven. Why? The heat affects it. Mipnei choym ha-tanur, because of the heat of the tanur. By the way, this is a very, very big challenge, because any matzah bakery is by definition going to be very hot. It's going to be very hot. So nowadays they use air-conditioned rooms, or they make sure that they rent it. Because if the room where you knead or you roll or you prepare the matzahs, if that's warm, then it's a massive problem. Because then you start counting, it's a massive problem. It's a real problem. So you've got to make sure that the matzah is still cool until it goes into the oven. You'll often notice that these fans, fans near the entrance of the oven. And actually, if you look in this in the videos of the nowadays the rooms are temperature controlled and ensured that they are really cool, especially the areas before it penetrates the oven. It has to be really cool, because like this, we know that the baking process starts then, and that is really important. Many bakeries fail because of that, and many bakeries are challenged because of this issue. It's very hard to keep a room cool and the matzahs, the dough cool, before it enters the oven. Okay, now, says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Nala, firstly, he has to be in a the sun might not reach the dough. Shashemesh mechame mo'isa, because the sun heats up, warms up the dough. Ve'korov lehachmetz, and it's likely to become chometz. V'das chok Yankov, the opinion of chok Yankov is shekol she'enu miskarev lolosh b'mokem hashemesh mamesh. The chok Yankov holds that whenever it's not literally hitting, the sun is not literally hitting it, mamesh, rak, shu korev et l'hashemesh, it's just like indirectly, not directly hitting, it's not so straight, and according to chok Yankov, it's okay. But that's kam achoinim, but the opinion of the majority of the poskim is lehachmir amazet umar tumachmir on this as well. If ein mutter, and it's only permitted rak b'mokem atzel, only when it's literally when there is shade, only needed where it's absolutely shady. And that is, I think, that's the way it has to be done. Okay. Siv cotton base, Hashemesh, Vafilabasech Abbas, even in the house, call Shachaloin Posuach, whenever the window is open, can I get the Shemesh also? When the window is open, it is prohibited. Vehechi, Shachaloin in a Posuach, window is closed, Rak only, Shashemesh Mazidir Schuchisachalonis, but it's hitting through the closed window. This is okay. It's fine. But kama achonim cholkim alav b'zeh, but there's even achonim that are further machmir than that. Shachama mavi gam derech haschur, is that the sun will warm up the room even through the window. I think that's the... Pardon? 14, yeah, even amplifies, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right, yeah. V'chenoagu lechasses achaloinus, and therefore the meaning is, very much in line to you, what you're pointing out. Lechasses achaloinus, you cover the windows, basadini, with sheets, b'shosh ha-shemesh mazir, when the sun is hitting, then they cover the windows with sheets. Nowadays you've got to do with blades, yeah, blinds. In theory, right. I suppose a lot of it has to do with the Mam Shalonu. Some of it has to do with the practicalities. But you're right. In theory, of course, you're right. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Now. Sivkot Nvov in the Mishnah on the next page tells us V'chein Lishloisim, we have to be careful. Rotzeloima Kmoi, just like the also be Gemara, just like in the Gemara, it is prohibited Lolush to knead B'mokom in a place Hashemesh of the sun or B'yoyim at Eivor on a cloudy day. Cain, similarly Yeish Leizor Lechatchil, you've got to be careful Lechatchil Lehoilich, not to walk around with the matzahs. So Gam Cain Mitamal, that's also for the earlier rationale and the reasoning. Shechoyim HaShemesh, because the heat of the sun, Mecham Elamayim will heat up the water, or Elakamach or the flowers. So, what the Mishnah is pointing out is that this is not the Gemara. The Gemara tells us about the room where you're kneading it. Here we are saying not only the kneading, but the walking around with it is also, for the same reason, should be also. So the Mishnah is pointing out it's not Gemara, but it's the same reason. Yeah, Sivkot and Zayin, Megula. That was the Mishnah Berurah taught us that don't keep the dough uncovered. Elechasena b'mapa, you can cover it up, which is important. Which means that if you need to walk around from one room to the other, say one room is the cooler area and one is the oven area, and it's you have to go through a chotzer, through a courtyard. Again, we've got air conditioning facilities, and therefore it's easier to have one room hot, one room cold. But if you, in previous generations, where you couldn't, and the heat of the oven would spread in the surrounding area, so it was very common to have two different buildings, and you perhaps have to cross a little chotzer, a courtyard or something. So it's a problem because we said you're not allowed to have the matzah uncovered because the sun is hitting on it. So the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out that the way out of this is by having it al chasena b'mapo. You can just cover it up with a mapo, with a tablecloth, a sheet, a shmata, whatever. That is fine. So it's not. So that what's interesting is perhaps that we're not talking about the atmospheric temperature. It's not that. Rather, it is the sun hitting on it, and therefore by covering it up, it's fine. To not cover it with the same material numerous times, the shama nidbak by potzek, for very practical reason. Whatever you put on the matzah, so. And you run around to the next to the oven. You uncover and one use the same item now again for the next batch of matzahs. You can't do that because simply what's likely to happen is that there might be a bit of dough on it, and that over the next 18 minutes surely has become chametz. So now you want to put the chametz on the matzah? Not a great idea. So change it. Yet the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Tes etzel atano by the oven, first white line. The Hainu Pia Tano, make sure that the area of the oven is cool. Hainu Pia Tano, it is the entrance of the oven, uvet stodim, but on its side, or me'achor over behind it, meaning the exit area, the area where it goes out. Doesn't matter if it's very hot. Even if it is hot, it doesn't matter, and normally it's not that hot either. Okay. Uh, The Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Yud goes in all the practical points, which is the key, very, very important for the baking process. He says as follows. If a person needed the dough by the entrance of the oven, it could be a problem with the Eved. You should know. Here it comes, a few important advice. Some ever make a mistake in this area. Keep going, such as, the bakers, that when they have the matzahs in their hands, on the stick, to put them into the oven. And they have got these sticks, and they are waiting, because there's some people who take the baked matzahs, they take them out, which is a skill. But there's others simultaneously put a new batch into the oven. Again, this is talking about smaller ovens. So one takes the matzah of the oven out, and the other gentleman puts the matzah in, which is even a greater skill. That's really difficult because it's still soft, and to put the matzah in the oven is very, very difficult. You need an expertise for that. Now, but whilst waiting with a stick, and the matzah is hanging, so sometimes he's going to be waiting. There's no space; he can't put it in yet because the old matzah is still, the baked matzah is still in there. So he's waiting with the matzah on his stick out. And he's putting the stick right next to the entrance of the oven. And that's a serious problem because it's starting to bake at that point already and it might become chometz. So therefore, you've got to make sure that you put the stick far away with the matzah on it. You wait until it's open and free and only then you shove it in. That's what Mishnah Berurah points out. Sometimes they even wait and have a little schmooze. The matzah becomes very hot because it's right outside the entrance of the tanu. And this is an absolute issa. Similarly, you've got to be careful to change the sticks. You should change the sticks constantly. Because it is obvious and it's noticeable. The sticks get boiling hot because they do enter the actual fire. And therefore, you've got to make sure that that they are changed constantly. And without great sense, it's a problem. Nowadays, this is much better, by the way, because we use a lot of these things are used disposables. Pardon? Chad-pami, they're disposables, and therefore it doesn't really matter, so there's no concern. But this was a big issue for many years. And often nowadays, they only use the sticks once. Yes, it's definitely true to say that the matzah baking process, even the hand matzahs nowadays, has improved. I think it's true to say that. Then the some of the shilas that you encounter from 50, 100 years ago, you won't find that anymore, these concerns. It's much, much easier, much better nowadays. Okay, to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned that you may only need the matzahs in an area where there is no sun directly hitting on it. Cloudy days are also a problem because the cloud spreads everywhere. We learned to even walk around with it, and because the sun is hitting on it. We learned in a room, if the window is open, that's problematic too. You might just not realize, but it's cloudy and then it's a problem. Or the sun is hitting directly on it and it's a problem. Therefore, close the window. If you just close the window, it might be okay, but it's probably still not great. Better yet, to put blinds or shutters or something and get it properly dark. We learned also that if you do walk around with the matzah down, baked matzahs, you can just cover it, and that's fine. And if the water or the flour gets warmed up, that's a problem. And we, very, very important halacha, we learned that you've got to be careful that the matzah prior to being baked, if it has to enter the oven being cold, because if it's warmed up beforehand, it might have become chametz already. So it's really important that it's cool before entering the oven. And we also learned that all the other items which are being used, such as the sticks, etc., also need to be replaced and cool to use for every batch. Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.